World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got this love-hate relationship with weekends. Yeah, love-hate relationship with weekends. I love the weekend because I can kind of kick back and be with my family and I do exciting things with my wife. And I love it. But I hate it because things are moving so fast. Things are just moving so fast. When I tried to do show prep this morning, I think, oh, my goodness, how do I work that in? And how do I work that in? How do I work? Time will prove that what you've been hearing here at Coach Dave Live is the truth. I'm just telling you, time's going to prove what's been going on here. We talk about here at Coach Dave Live is the truth, whether you want to believe it or not. The missing in action of the church. We went to Springfield this weekend. I'm going to get into that. Before, real quickly, though, Neil Levy, our buddy up in Wisconsin, Neil and Mary. Neil today is going to have his leg amputated. He went in about, I don't know, two months ago, tried to get his knee rebuilt. And something happened or whatever. It didn't take. I don't know the details of it. But he goes in today to have his leg amputated. So be in prayer for Mary. Lord, just ask that you just comfort Mary and Neil, Lord. Neil Levy will do more on one leg than most men do on two. And just pray for a great surgery. Doctors know what they're doing and quick healing for Neil and Mary in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, there's a lot going on. I could turn this show into a pray for one another show. I could do that. There's just so much going on. And Michelle, my wife, just said to me as I was coming down, she's really observant. And she says, boy, man, it sure is a lot going on. What? And I said, no, honey, it's not that there's more going on. It's the instantaneous media that we have now that makes it appear like more is going on. See, folks, a lot of this stuff has been going on behind the scenes. We didn't know it was going on. But now, man, everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a camera. Something happens. It is immediately in front of you, immediately. And unfortunately, most of us, all of us, again, we are burdened by whoever we're listening to, friends. Listening to. I'm in an argument with a guy on Facebook, of all things. I know the guy. Known him a long time. My whole life I've known him. He is so lost. He is so lost. And what does he do? He listens to the left media. Now, the left media isn't all lies, just enough lies. And he would say, well, I listen to the right media, but I don't. I don't listen to the right media. I haven't turned on Fox News and I don't know when. I don't listen to any of that stuff. I do my own research on the internet. By the way, didn't they tell us we shouldn't be doing our own research? Wasn't that part of what they told us? We shouldn't be doing our own research? Well, I do my own research. And so people are, if you are watching any of the mainstream media, folks, you are being lied to. You are not getting the truth. Sorry. And can I tell you this? If you're watching a lot of those mainstream pastors on TV, you ain't getting the truth. We were in Springfield, Ohio yesterday. I believe that was Sunday, wasn't it? Sunday morning. Churches everywhere you could look. Everywhere you could look. Amazing. Amazing what the American church has permitted. Okay, throw up there real quickly for me our team. Throw our team up there, Spence. I just sent you a picture. There they are, man. That's the group that terrorized Springfield, Ohio yesterday. Man, look at that cute little brunette there in the front. How'd I get a hold of her? So that me and Michelle and Milton's behind it, and Dave's a new guy we picked up from down around that area, and Betty and Jeff and Todd Henry showed up for us, and there's George there. George came out of hiding, and James is there, and there's Glenn, and there's Gary with his devil sunglasses on. And I'm going to show you some videos, some of the stuff that we did. And I want to encourage more of you to do what it is. I want to tip my cap to Randy, who gave us the battle plan. Randy, we use Randy's battle plan. And I just want to acknowledge that we had a great trip. I got a lot of stuff I'm going to show you here. Okay. So let me jump in there real quick and let's go to, is that where I want to start, Lord? Yeah, that's where I'll start. Go to number four, pull up number four. And I just want to give you a feel for what we did and want you to know that you, as Randy has told us, you can do this in your neighborhood. Go to the 4 minute mark. Okay. This is a 29 minute video that my wife, Michelle took as we were doing it, but I want to show you a couple different things. So we show up at the courthouse. This is what we call staking. Now, so the people understand, we didn't actually stake. My sweet wife we had stones. I wish I had one with me. We had stones and she wrote scripture on the stones. We dropped the stones in different places where we went. Again, right? Every place we put our foot, God's given to us as an inheritance. By the way, the media has been lying to you about Springfield. I'm going to show you that here in a second as well. Okay, so I'm going to show you just a couple clips so you understand what this whole thing looked like. So here's the courthouse. We're at the 4 minute mark of this 29 minute live video that we took. And go ahead and play this. 4 minutes.
Folks, notice this here at this courthouse, the Ten Commandments. In the middle of the Ten Commandments is the all-seeing eye.
The all-seeing eye. The all-seeing eye on this Ten Commandments.
The symbolism of the Masonic, the all-seeing eye, which is on the dollar bill.
And the star at the bottom. Star, so-called Star of David. Mm. Bottom right corner.
Amen. All-seeing eye and the Star of David. Who knows when that was put in there?
Says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Right, folks, understand that we're dealing with principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Psalm 1 says, the kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against the anointed. This is not Republican, Democrat, right, left, old, young. It's none of that stuff. It's spiritual. Kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness.
So we think that the courthouse, they're doing repairs on the courthouse, I think, although they may be trying to keep people away from it. We don't know. The entire courthouse was surrounded.
We're going to head down to City Hall in a little while where all the food laws taking place.
I don't know what that background noise is. I don't know what that is. I just want you to see here. Bear with us. We're prayer walking. Everybody's kind of praying, dropping stones as they go. And I'll show you some of the prayers we're going to do here in a second. There's Jeff. There's Dave. We'll get together. We'll stop here at this one corner now.
Don't go there. Confess our sins for listening to your lies, thoughts, and feelings. Now you can of darkness, forces of evil, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly, Satan, demons, and evil spirits, I command you in the glorious name of our eternal Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ.
So we're just prayer walking it, okay? We're just prayer walking. I'll put it in the chat. You can feel it. Move it to the 14-minute mark.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You can see we're prayer walking. Everybody's got... Okay, so stop a minute. So what we did is we printed out what Randy had put together for us, and we read the declarations. And when we read the declarations, we blow the shofar after each declaration. Show you a little bit of how easy this is to do. Go ahead.
Prosper in the thing for which you send it, Isaiah 55:11.
Okay, so we went through all the declarations. We read all the declarations, all that stuff. Go to the 14-minute mark. There's Betty. There's Milton. They're just normal people. They're just normal people, right? Just normal people going out. The 14-minute mark. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm looking over here. Because I don't want to put it to 19-minute and 30-second mark then. Okay, folks, so you understand what we did? We ran around. We read the declarations. We blew the shofar. We dropped our little markers behind everywhere that we went. And then we're out of nowhere. We're sitting there, and some guy from Springfield, Ohio, pulls up. Go ahead. 19-minute mark. 1930.
That stone cut out without hands. Finishes leveling all.
Look forward a little bit. And you'll see him, and it's gone. Keep going. There's George right there. George is 2 minutes worth there. Go ahead, George.
Should we walk to City Hall now? Are we done? Here? And we'll stop it.
Here's a guy just pulls up.
Came back to take care of the father and helping the father in law now, and I'm down in Florida quite a bit. And every day I'm in Springfield, Ohio, I walk Veterans Park. I walk that trail. And for the past few weeks, there are no ducks in here.
Yeah.
I would say we used to have 100 to 200 of them in the babies, and you used to always fight the droppings, but we give them sight.
Whether or not they're being eaten, they're disappearing.
They're gone. They're gone. And I know on the record that there's one. At least one 911 call in regards to four Haitians with four geese over here on Water and Mortar, which was close. You know, I mean, we can either. It's about a lot more than that. You know, it's about.
About who's paying for it?
You can call it a legal program, but actually, technically, they're not here legally. They don't have a visa.
That's right.
Okay. That program is an executive order program, the TPS program. Trump can end that on day one.
Amen.
Which he's going to do, and there'll be a remigration into their countries. You know, and he's a negotiator. Maybe some will stay if some of the industry need it, but that's not the starting point.
So the truth of the matter is, this isn't about ducks and geese and rabbits and frogs. It's about the invasion of Springfield.
In my opinion only, the governor, the local leadership here, our city government, this was all underneath the table until the cat meme came out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad that the governor and the local leadership here, and I don't want to be disparaging, but they do work for us.
They do.
The mayor and the city commissioners all knew what was going on here. And until the cat meme came out,
yeah,
it was all swept underneath the rug.
So at the end of all this is probably a big pile of money. Would you agree with that?
Hang on, freeze it a minute. Do you understand what he just said? They all knew it was going on. They all knew it. And they were all getting oodles and oodles and oodles of money out of it. And it wasn't until somebody mentioned the geese, huh, and the cats, that all of a sudden the news blew up. And now that the news has blown up, people are coming out of the woodwork saying, yeah, oh yeah, this is going on. Go down to Walmart. See what's going on down at Walmart. That's what's going on. Play just a couple more minutes here.
There's something happening. I think a lot of the homeowners got rid of their Section 8 housing and to move these people in. I can't go on the record about what I know and what I don't know. I mean, I think that there's probably I've heard one job placement place come up, in regards to housing and cots and transportation, those kinds of things.
Okay, you can stop because I'll put it in the chat. You can leave here. Listen, friends, you have got to get this. You've got to get this. All right, it ain't about ducks. It ain't about cats. What has been exposed is the governmental corruption that has brought this into this small town, and not only into this small town, but in small towns all across America. We're just beginning to hear more and more about it, right? Friends, this was designed. Hang on. Go to, which one do I want to show you first? Go to 6 real quick. You don't even have to. Drugs and Venezuela gangs in Colorado. Really? Really? No ducks and geese, no cats, just drugs and death threats and Venezuela gangs. How did they get in here? Open borders. Now, why are they in here from open borders? Wow, that would be interesting. Go to number 3. Go to number 3. And pull that up. Cloward and Piven and put it at the 6. Starting at about the 1-minute mark here. Guys, ever heard of Cloward Piven? Cloward Piven? Okay, go ahead, play it. Here's
what's going on. Trump's fault or it's Kamala's fault. But immigration isn't just about who's coming. It's about who we are. It's like adding more ingredients to your grandma's recipe. It changes the flavor for better or for worse. So let's discuss the plans put forth decades and decades ago to divide America. Whenever these things get brought up in mainstream discourse, they're never explained, just immediately shot down as conspiracy theory, which I believe is a disservice to all because I believe y'all are smart enough to come to your own conclusions. Let's lay out the facts, outline the ideas, and let you decide if these plans are merely theory, white supremacy talking points, or actually happening right in front of you. In the year 2000, the UN wrote a 177-page report on replacement migration. Basically, this document examined how migration could counteract population decrease in places like Japan, South Korea, and numerous European countries, because, including the U.S., because of declining birth rates. And this document presented a litany of migration scenarios. It examined how immigration could address labor shortages and keep the economy rolling. But notice, curiously, it's not recommended that these nations encourage population growth through incentivizing family building, like we've seen Hungary do in recent years. But the solution is to bus in all these migrants. The United Nations doubled down on these migration plans in their 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Agenda 2030 is like the big butch Frankenstein sister to Agenda 21, okay? Which was adopted in September of 2015 and comprised of 17 Sustainable Development Goals. I break all this down in my book, The Deep State Encyclopedia, but basically Agenda 2030 outlines a blueprint for world socialism where migration is key to every development goal. All these aliens are the MVPs, with migrants recognized as, quote, agents of development. Keep in mind, 193 member states of the United Nations unanimously adopted the 2030 Agenda. If everybody from every nation is spread out everywhere, what's the point of nations, borders, and countries? Almost like a United Nations. I mean, no pun intended, the plan is right there in the name. They weren't hiding it from y'all. Might as well have a one-world government while we're at it. So can we say that the open southern border of the U.S. is part of a deliberate plan to implement Agenda 2030? Well, don't answer that yet, because there's more to consider. We got to go back to 1966, when Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven, two sociologists, were teaching at Columbia University. They developed the Cloward-Piven strategy to essentially overload the U.S. welfare system, abusing it to the point of collapse, which would then send the U.S. into crisis mode. And the response to that crisis would be radical social change. They were hoping that this collapse would disrupt American capitalism. And in its place, there would be guaranteed annual income, so all the poor would have money, and we could all live happily ever after on universal basic income. And no one will be defecating in the street or eating geese from the park. What a utopia. We'll all hold hands and sing songs. What does the Cloward-Piven strategy have to do with immigration, you ask? Well, baby, we gotta get those numbers up. Can't overload a system if there's no overload. So if we were to believe such a strategy is being implemented now, we could say that everyone flooding into the country who is on welfare is being used as a pawn in the army to destroy the current system. And the people, quote-unquote, helping these aliens are well-funded, organized groups demanding more and more from the system. And the whole problem, that's not really a problem for people trying to implement this strategy, theoretically, allegedly, hypothetically. The problem is that our country is $40 trillion in debt, and at some point it's going to be like trying to squeeze water out of a rock. You're trying to milk a rock. Can't do it. And if this whole collapse comes to pass, it's a wrap for the Republic. You're done. Is there another angle, though, a racial angle to all of this? Besides just the diabolical scheming and forever being on the teat of the government? For the purposes of this video, I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying there's not. I'm saying it's up to you to decide. But we got to go back to 1924 to examine the details.
Okay, put this in the chat.
So there was this politician.
Fabulous, fabulous video. Folks, this is being done. Can I say this as clearly as possible? To destroy Christianity in the West. It's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And so what do? They flood the system with illegals and then demand what? Why? Government money to take care of them. And they go to the churches and say, well, we can't ignore these people. We can't ignore them. And what does Governor DeWine, who's behind all of it, what does he do? Well, we'll send in $2.5 million. Whose $1 million? Betty's $1 million. Milton's $1 million. They're sending in your money. And so what they end up with is a total and complete societal collapse. And then people will scream and holler, fix it, fix it. Whatever you have to do, fix it. That's the whole way Cloward Piven works. Create a crisis and then be the answer to the crisis. That's what we're dealing with, friends. It's real what's going on. Now, here's the good news, if there is any. Because they made it about ducks and geese and cats, it was so sensational that nobody believed it. And Donald Trump brought it up in the debate. And when he brought it up in the debate, the media couldn't wait to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. See, he's crazy. Ha, ha. See, he's crazy. And then when they began digging, what did they find out? No, he ain't crazy. No, he ain't crazy. And 2 days later, what happened? Our governor, DeWine, said, oh, yeah, wow. We do have a problem down there. Whoa, we'll better send some money and some police officers down there. Folks, this is going on in many places all across America. And they have co-opted the church and telling the church that they have to help these poor immigrants. Friends, come in the right way. When they come across the border, they are lawbreakers, folks. Does the Bible tell us to reward lawbreakers? Is that what we're supposed to do? But see, because we don't understand Christianity, right and wrong, and doing what we're supposed to do under God, because we don't understand that, and that the social gospel has become the big thing, the churches are doing everything they can to help. Can I say it? The churches are doing everything they can to help those who are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. Jesus said that. They're of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. And the church has been co-opted into thinking that we're supposed to take all of our tax dollars and give it to these. Okay, one more thing. Go to number five. I see your hand up. I got to get it in here. Go to number five. Huh? Huh? Are you ready? Huh? They aren't. Boy, they're not eating ducks. But they're not doing that to cats. That's all made up. Go ahead and play it.
Show for y'all. Man, this dude's spitting facts. This dude got the inside story on what's going up in these Haitians. What's up with them? Check out this video.
Listen, I am not Haitian, but I am from the Caribbean. The Haitian immigrants are indeed eating animals. Let me tell you something about these people. Not only are they harvesting cats for food, but also for witchcraft purposes, voodoo purposes. Understand this. If you don't want to take my word for it, go out there. Meet a Haitian. Talk to them about it. This is not something they aren't proud of. It's their culture. They eat these animals, and they use the blood and bones of these animals for voodoo and witchcraft purposes. This is not a joke. The fact that they are here illegally, Kamala did say she gave them a temporary protection, over 100,000 of them. But here's the thing. For good luck purposes, they will harvest cats. They will use the blood and the bone of these cats. They consume these things because they believe it brings good luck and good juju. This is not a joke. It's a fact. This is their culture.
Okay, you can get him off there. Put that in the chat. So again, remember this. They're trying to sensationalize it to make Christians look like fools again. And friends, voodoo, which is what the Haitians engage in, is a different religion. It's a demonic religion. We are welcoming in the enemies of our soul. Do you get this? It doesn't have anything to do with racism. It doesn't have anything to do with hating black people. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. What do you suppose the odds are that your church has any understanding of it at all? Do you think your pastor would have the courage to stand in the pulpit and play what we just saw there? Do you think he would do that? And so the devil, we know this, right? Huh? He's sly, man. He comes in as an angel of light. You have to protect these people. These are human beings. We have to be good to them. And because we have to be good to them, we're going to overtax you. And then we're going to take that money and send in government money, which there is no such thing as government money. And we're going to take care of all that. And the next thing you know, y'all going to be broke. Y'all be broke. Hey, Jeff Klein out there. Hey, listen to me, folks. Listen. Look at me. Look at me. If you're going to buy a car, go through Jeff Klein. If you are going to buy a car, go through Jeff Klein. If you have to, if you got to drive 400 miles, go through Jeff Klein. Why? We have to support those who are on our team. Don't drive down the road and think, well, I'm going to save 500 bucks. I can get it from this guy down here and save 500 bucks. No, spend 500 more and support Jeff Klein. Come on, why don't we get this?
Boom.
I had to get that out there. We don't do it. So let's support those who are on our team. Friends, I'm telling you, we are in the midst of the most unbelievable, cataclysmic, what's the word I'm looking for? Explosion beyond what we can ever see. Our banking system is kaput. Kaput. And you know, I've been talking about gold and silver. I'm not a financial expert, but I had this conversation this weekend and said, look, I've got some gold and silver, but I don't know if it's any good. I said, what do you mean? Well, what am I going to use it for? American dollar? I'm going to trade this for an American dollar? Why would I ever do that? What am I going to trade it for? And I said, well, you know, it's like owning property. At the end of the day, you own the property. At the end of the day, you own gold and silver. Those other people, they just got paper. But somehow, some way, property will always be valuable. Gold and silver will always be valuable. I don't know how it's going to play out, but the gold is mine, the silver is mine. The Lord said that's God's money. So therefore, if you have gold and silver, I don't know what you're going to trade it for. But it ain't going to be these phony continental dollars. It ain't going to be those. This is all connected. I'm all over the place this morning, but I see it so clearly. And then I go on Facebook. Sorry, that's where the world is on Facebook. And I can't believe, hold your ears, how damn stupid some people are. I cannot believe what they believe. How could you possibly believe that? But they do. They do. And they turn on 60 Minutes. Did you see 60 Minutes last night? I never watched 60 Minutes. Never, ever, ever watch 60 Minutes. But I was watching the end of the Bengals game yesterday. And I didn't get out of the chair. I was doing some work on my computer. And all of a sudden, the game's over. And there's 60 Minutes. And what was the top story on 60 Minutes? J6. J6. And Trump's involvement in J6. And the policemen that were injured. And all. It was the most unbelievable hit piece. And I was there on January 6th, and ain't none of that stuff happened the way they tell us. They lie on purpose. Can I tell you why? Because there's people that you go to church with that believe it. Betty, I'm going to say that again. There are people that you go to church with who watch 60 Minutes and believe it.
Boom.
Come on in, Jeff.
Don't you know, a few years ago, we were told, just love all the Muslims. Look what happened then. Now we're saying, love all the Haitians. Take care of them.
That's right. Jesus would love them. Yeah, but Jesus would follow the law, wouldn't he?
I go to the wholesale car auction for dealers. There'd be 150 of us car dealers in there, and half of them are foreigners. And you would not believe how the auction caters to them. And everybody just trying to be nice to them. I've got into a few spats. We had a Muslim there one day, kneeling at the door, praying. At the building, I walked up and said, buddy, what are you doing? And everybody sit around looking at me like, and I just told him, I said, Allah is not God. Jesus is the Lord. And this guy was not happy with me. And all the other dealers stand around like looking at me scared to death. Like, what'd you say to him? What'd you say? So I went and told the owner. I said, you better get that guy under control. They were freaking out.
Hey, man, hey, Jeff, here's the truth. You guys all buy this car, same cars, the same auctions, and take them home, put a little bit of a profit on it, fix them up, and sell them. And people could buy a car from you just as easily as they could anybody in their hometown. Couldn't they, Jeff?
Yep, I get people coming in and saying, man, I bought a car over in Newark or Columbus. I said, was it a foreigner? And they're like, yeah, we got screwed. We got hosed up. I was like, there you go.
Yeah. If you're in the car, if you need a car, call Jeff Klein. He'll bring it to you. He'll get it to you. Whatever. George Howard. Come on in, George.
What's the dealership he works for?
JC's Auto in Mount Vernon, Ohio. It's his own lot. His own car.
Cool.
Lot. JC's Auto. Maybe you can put that up here. I don't, Jeff, what's your website?
The website got hacked. I lost the domain name. I said, screw the website.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, so get a hold of me and I'll lock you up with Jeff. Huh? Come on. Let me show you something else. Pull up, which one is it there, Coach? No. Number one. I'm sorry. Went right by it. And start it. Go scroll down. Started at the 6 minute mark. Okay. Folks, this is really good. I'm going to put it in the chat. It's a title of it, Jeff. I'm sorry. Go back to the top. Why are most people cowards? It's the title of this video. Why are most people cowards? Because they are. They are cowards. Now put it at, what did I say? Put it at the, yeah, you got it. 6 minute mark. And let's just listen for a few minutes here. Go ahead.
Imprisonment and mass murder. In his book, The Psychology of Good and Evil, Irvin Staub elaborates on the psychological mechanism that facilitates a continuum of destruction. How does harmful behavior become the norm? Doing harm to a good person or passively witnessing it is inconsistent with a feeling of responsibility for the welfare of others and the belief in a just world. Inconsistency troubles us. We minimize it by reducing our concern for the welfare of those we harm or allow to suffer. We devalue them, justify their suffering by their evil nature or by higher ideals. A change to feel the victim.
Freeze it! Freeze it! So they tell you that you have to help the Haitians and it's breaking the working man. Do you understand? You understand? This is not a victimless thing. And the church is saying, we got to help these guys. We have to help them. And there are Christians sitting in the church. They can't even pay their friggin' bills. Go ahead.
Changed attitude toward that suffering and it changed self-concept result. To counter the continuum of destruction that is a product of too much conformity and too much government force, more people need to act with moral courage. Moral courage entails a willingness to encounter risks so as to defy immoral orders, reject authoritarian government control, and to stand up for the disappearing values of truth, freedom, and justice. And as Rushworth Kidder explains in his book, Moral Courage, where there's no danger, there's no courage. Anyone can endure security and well-being. The real challenges arise in the face of hazard. So it is with moral courage, where danger is endured for the sake of an overarching commitment to conscience, principles, or core values. Some acts of moral courage are accompanied by mild risks, such as being ridiculed, insulted, or ostracized. If, for example, we speak out against a status quo belief in the presence of a group of conformists, or if we refuse to adhere to social practices or mandates that are immoral or idiotic, we may lose friends or attract choice words from the obedient, but this is a small price to pay in exchange for doing what we believe is right. For as Rollo May explains, the hallmark of courage in our age of conformity is the capacity to stand on one's own convictions. However, sometimes acts of moral courage are accompanied by more grave risks, including but not limited to the loss of employment, physical or financial penalties, imprisonment, or in some cases, even death. Of all the agonizing ethical dilemmas facing humanity, writes Rushworth Kidder, few are more wrenching than the choice between what's right for the world and what's right for you and your family. Carl Jung called the men and women willing to confront great dangers in defiance of tyranny the true leaders of mankind. And to learn about the mindset of one of these leaders, we can turn to the story of Viktor Pestov. In 1967, Pestov was a 20-year-old living in the Soviet Union. His family was well off by Soviet standards, and his mother was a high-ranking member of the KGB. Yet Pestov could not avert his eyes from the boot of tyranny that was crushing society, and so he took a keen interest in political matters. And when Soviet tanks rode into Czechoslovakia and violently stamped out the human rights protest known as the Prague Spring, Pestov told his friend, "We must do something about this." Pestov and his brother set up a clandestine group called Free Russia, and he warned those who joined that they would likely be arrested within the year. Yet all agreed that the battle for freedom justified the risk, and so they began publishing pamphlets exposing the lies of the Soviet regime and snuck out in the dead of night to distribute them. The KGB quickly identified the group as a threat, and in 1970, Pestov was arrested. His mother was fired from the KGB and never allowed to work in Russia again, and Pestov was sentenced to 5 years in a Soviet prison camp. Pestov decided to stand up to the Soviet regime and therein place himself and inadvertently his mother in great danger, because he could not in good conscience sit idly by as a corrupt regime of thousands destroyed the lives of millions. He understood that if he did not stand up for the freedom of others, he could not expect others to stand up for his, and that if nobody did anything, everyone was doomed. And so, he chose to face danger, to fight for freedom, and to place a portion of the fate of society on his back. He saw himself as fighting against the malevolent idea that someone will think for you, someone will make decisions for you, and as he explained, a person should be the master of his own fate. In a conversation with Rushworth Kidder, Pestov reflected on the grave dangers he voluntarily faced and on the 5 years he spent in prison. "I believe I did the right thing," Pestov concluded. "I wasn't silent. I was saying and doing what I had to do. There was a very small contribution of mine to the fact that the communists were pushed out of power." Unless more people can muster up the moral courage to renounce conformity in favor of standing up for freedom and for what is right, and at the very least make a small contribution to combating tyranny, Western societies will continue moving towards what Ayn Rand called the stage of the ultimate inversion, or as she warns, "We are fast approaching the stage of the ultimate inversion, the stage where the government is free to do anything it pleases, while the citizens may act only by permission, which is the stage of the darkest periods of human history, the stage of rule by brute force."
Boom!
Become a supporting member.
There you go, huh? Is that where we are? Is that where we are?
Amen.
Obey the government? And if you speak out against the government, people resist you. The church silences you if they let you come at all, right? Huh? They send the FBI after you. Why? Because you stood up what you believe to be truth. By the way, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And when you do that, they lock you up, and the church doesn't say a word. Church doesn't say a word.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. The church doesn't say a word. Hey, Glenn, how many huge churches did we see yesterday in downtown Springfield, Glenn? Oh, big old edifices, those big old steeples.
Yeah. They were castles of buildings, totally vacant, totally silent. No activity.
Amen, 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 amen. Judah.
Yeah, Coach, it's the people who are involved, they already know the plot. And as you start to understand this, I've had my own great awakening with the church that I've gone to. And I'm willing to say it publicly, you know, Gary and Drenda Cassie from Faith Life Church, you know what? They sound very good. Been going there for, say, 15 years. But when J6 happened, something spiritually happened. The silence that came from that situation, their pulpit should have been explaining to people the truth. Not Amen. One time Not one time did they explain the truth. Then
their Christian brothers are being locked up and they didn't say a word.
Then there was four couples from their church that the FBI raided and arrested. And we asked for support, financial support, not only from, say, them, but the church, the body that's supposed to be there to help for, say, legal fees or anything like that. It would have been.
Take up an offering for these people for their legal expenses?
You could have, very simply.
They didn't do that, Jed? They didn't do that?
They didn't only do that. They said they can't. C-A-N, apostrophe T, can't. And I said, wait a second. In God's word, aren't all things possible through Christ Jesus? Why is the word can't now in your language? But the point was this, is they wouldn't even lift a finger, wouldn't even pray for these families or couples.
Wouldn't bring it up. Didn't want to bring it up, right? Didn't want to talk about it. But then I find out
they're giving some of their tithe funds directly to Lindsey Graham and Kevin McCarthy. Wait a second. If anybody can do math and understand this, the clear connections to Oral Roberts University and the silencing of the people at the church taking the sheep and putting them on the bench. Friend, I'm telling you what, there's people that are after your money. They're not after the gospel.
Amen, baby. Amen.
Church thought they were the bad guys.
Yeah, we thought they were the bad guys, right? Huh? We thought they were the bad guys.
Go ahead, Jeff. Oh, no. I was going to say, it's basically the dog collar of the 501c. They've got them controlled. They step out of line. They lose their status. And it's over.
George, they choose that. They choose to obey because, therefore, they don't have to confront. They choose to obey.
True.
Yep. It's an excuse. I say it's a skirt they hide behind. Although it's real, the 501c3, it's real, but at some point you have to stand up against tyranny, don't you? Sam, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that anymore.
Exactly.
Amen. Johnny.
Good morning. I'm just thinking about the movie Torah, Torah, Torah. Does anybody remember that movie?
Yes, sir.
And that you talk about 60 Minutes. They're going every which way but loose to capture as many of those that will side with them. Yep. When I think about how the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor in that movie, and it dawned on the Japanese after the fact and said, I think that we have awakened a sleeping giant.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the American people are waking up and there will be a reckoning. We're not going to go down quietly.
Well, we have the choice to.
But I believe that we're going to rise up. And I believe that we're not going to go down quietly. I think
we're not going to rise up without courage. We're not going to rise up without courage. Huh? And can I say this?
Well, we'll keep doing what we're doing, Coach. We'll keep doing what we're doing.
That's right. We have the most cowardly leadership in the history of Christianity in America right now today. The most cowardly leadership. People are looking for somebody to follow. And I'm going to tell you something. It ain't the guy in the pulpit. And if you think the guy in the pulpit is leading us to defend liberty across America. Oh, boy. Pardon me. Coughing in your ear. Clay, come on in.
Well, I hope we are going to rise up. I hope there is a sleeping giant left because the children and our grandchildren and our children are watching to see what we're going to do and whether or not we're going to stand up to the tyranny and the takeover of this country. And that's what was so important about turning January 6th against us is because our kids were looking at us, and when we were brave enough to go and stand up, they said, hey, somebody's doing something. I might not agree with it, but somebody's doing something. But now they squelched us down, and that systematic takeover of our country is killing us, and all we're doing is watching it happen. And if we don't stand up pretty soon, it's going to be over with.
You better understand this. The Bible tells us if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. In other words, if you smite the leadership, everybody else is going to hide. That's exactly what happened at J6. Those were God-fearing men that did not do anything to anybody. Oh, now, wait a minute. Did some of them? Yeah, maybe. Maybe they did. Maybe they pushed a cop. Maybe they did. Did it deserve 20 years in prison? Come on. Shake your head. Your eyes are stuck. You see, you're not going to say anything about it. Can I tell you the truth? They're watching me right now. And every day I say, Lord, do you want me to go say that? They're watching. They're watching right now. And can I tell you something? They don't need any reason. They don't need any reason. They can make up anything they want to come and arrest me. You know that, don't you? You know that, right? They make up some bogus, well, Coach Dave said this on this day, and so we're going to arrest him and put him in jail while we make him wait 2 years for his trial. Come on. Come on. Tell me you get it.
And, Coach, you were asking why nobody's standing up to do anything about this. The reason why is because their security is in earthly things.
That's right.
Psalm 91 says our refuge is supposed to be in the Most High.
That's right.
There's the security that people have right now is in their Social Security benefits and their insurance and such.
Yeah.
They're scared of losing it. If they put their faith in the Lord, they'd have some bravery.
You know what I want, Clay? I want to spend the next whatever's left of my life training and raising up my 10 grandchildren. That's what I want to do. I don't care about money. I don't care about any of that stuff, right? And you know what they want to do? They want to take away from me the right to be able to do that. Why do they want to lock up Bill Dunphy? Because they want to make sure that he doesn't encourage anybody else to fight. That's why they're doing it, folks. Come on, wake up. Wake up. Will you wake up? Will you wake up? Jeff Klein, go. Then Gene.
Coach, I just put my number in the chat. I need Judah to call me today because we are going to get, in Knox County, Drenda Cassie, County Commissioner. The churches and all the people are overwhelmed with her. And I called her out at one of the meetings we had here in town with Bernie Marino was there and everything. And I did a public comment to Bernie. And afterwards, that woman come up to me and thought she was going to be able to get in with me. And, I've been fighting this battle for years. I looked at her and I said, then tell me exactly what you've done to accomplish a victory then. And she bolted. I mean, she bolted away from me because I called her out on it. I said, you're an apostate. So I was down a couple of weeks ago at the Republican committee office telling all the people in there. I held up her little flyer talking about the millions that she's handled. I said, this is all the millions in her church. And she has Jesse Duplantis in her church. I said, she is an apostate.
Okay, so hang on. So listen. I don't want to besmirch somebody that's not here to defend themselves, okay?
But
I don't want to do that.
But she's a
I understand. But I'm not gonna slice and dice somebody that's not here to defend themselves. Gino.
Yeah, Coach, I was just gonna say you were bringing up that we have to do something and we have to take a stand. I was going to church for years and he didn't agree with me, with the pastor, and I just had to walk out. And then now I'm with another pastor and he was inviting me next weekend to some church breakfast for the men. I said, well, I'll probably be going out, still marching around some more Capitol buildings. And they looked at me and they said, well, good luck. I mean, you know, like good luck, But then after the service, the minister said, well, his job was to save souls, was to go out and preach the gospel.
And they don't even do that, Gene.
No, and I was shaking. I said, yes, but we're also supposed to be watchmen, and we're supposed to be prepared what's coming. Our churches are not prepared.
No.
They don't know what's coming. We're going to have a dark period coming pretty soon. And it's
Gene, they think they're out of here. Do you understand? I've been harping against this.
Yeah. Oh.
They're going to leave the mess to somebody else. That's pretty Christian, isn't it?
I agree. Boy, can you hear me? I've gotten cut off from my internet.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, they must have turned me off, so okay.
Amen. George, come on in, George.
Yeah, I was going to say, with the whole thing with the J6, if you notice, everything was peaceful until they started shooting the rubber bullets and going everything was fine until then. So, you know, that's where everything goes crazy. And like you said, You were there. Everything was peaceful until all of a sudden they went berserk. And of course, you put someone in a violent situation, they're going to react. And
unfortunately, worse than that, George, we didn't even know until we got home what had happened. We were right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
That's crazy. It ain't crazy, man. It's by design. It's by design. Come on, man. Come on, man.
True.
Are the churches in an uproar to get these men out of jail? Are the churches in an uproar? Could the churches get these men out of jail? Sure they could.
I'm sure they could. They have backbone.
They haven't even had a trial, some of these guys. 3 years. Dave Allison.
Yeah, Coach, as we're talking here, it was interesting. Yesterday we had the granddaughter over and we read through the story of the Good Samaritan. It's kind of interesting. I see the parallel here. When Jesus, the guy says, well, Jesus says, help your neighbor. And the guy asked Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? And then told him the story about the Samaritan. And what happened is that individual was robbed, beaten up, and left for dead alongside the road in plain view of everyone. But here's the thing. He said, who comes along first? The Sadducee, the religious guy. Well, guess who comes along next? The Levite. He's the guy that supports the religious guy, right?
He's a big donor, yeah.
These guys, they pass him by. So let's flip that story around. Jesus is trying to warn us, don't look for these religious people to ever help you when you're down and out and you need help. That's the flip side of that story, not the Good Samaritan. Yeah, he did right. The flip side is people don't ever expect the religious people to come along and help you. Down and out.
Amen.
Boy, oh boy. Beam, boom, Dave. Boom. That's a good one. Oh my goodness. Judah.
Yeah, I don't bring this up to nitpick on anybody, but it is a good question. So Jeff or others in the future, this is an open question, open-ended question to anybody with Gary and Jenica C. On January 6th, now I'm speaking from, I've worked on their security team for over 8 years. So I know things that other people don't know. However, this should be public information. Why would a pastor, Cassie, on January 6th be in a private meeting with a CIA director, Mike Pompeo? In D.C.
He was. You have that evidence?
No, it's fact.
Yeah. Amen. Hey, listen, I feel uncomfortable.
Someone asked the question. Just ask the question. And watch them respond, because they won't respond.
Okay. Well, we need to ask them in person, right? I'm for truth. But look, I don't want people slandering me without my chance to defend myself. And not that you are, Judd. Just common courtesy.
Yeah, it's just facts. They're details. So the questions are their questions. And people need to investigate them, because it goes into a rabbit hole of a lot deeper topics.
Yeah, it does. It does, for sure. For sure. Hey, Mel, or Spence, or no, who is it? Pull up our prayer this morning, Spencer. I'm sorry, man. Let's pull that thing up. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, J6 is just another symptom. We got to go back to 9/11 when they killed 3,000 people, and we killed 1.5 million Iraqis. And a couple million Afghanistanis. And amen. Now they're using that to kill us. And we're Jack, still talking about J6. Come on, people.
Dick Cheney and the Cheneys and the Bushes are against Trump. What does that tell you?
Of course. But wait a minute. What happened on January 20th, 2017? Nothing. Because Trump said, I'm giving this to you. Are you going to take your republic back? And the church and most Christians said, oh, we'll see you in 4 years. And here we are. We're still fighting this stupid crap because nobody wants to stick their neck out.
Amen.
Especially courage.
Amen. 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 All right. Here we are. The action. All right. We're going to do this every day, September 10th till October 10th. We're in the midst of it. It's going on right now, friends. Going on right now. And we have them squirming. They never dreamed that ducks and cats would open the eyes of Americans. We have an unbelievable opportunity right now. So who wants to read this for us this morning?
You have to, Coach.
Go ahead, Vinny.
If you say no, then join me and recite Psalm 2 for 30 consecutive days during United Nations General Assembly, 79th General Assembly, scheduled its opening on September 10th to October 10th, 2024. The Messiah's Triumph and Kingdom, Psalm 2. Why do the United Nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.
Amen.
He who sits in the heavens shall laugh.
Amen.
The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king, Jesus, on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Amen.
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron.
Amen.
You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Lord, you are our potter. We are your clay.
Amen.
Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, you told us, Lord, that every place that we put our foot, you've given unto us as an inheritance. Yesterday, Lord, when we walked in that city of Springfield, and we did exactly what you did, what you told us to do, Lord. We took authority and possession over every governmental force there in that Springfield, Ohio area. And Lord, all we can do is do what you ask us to do and know that you are a man of your word. And Father, we just pray right now that you will pull down those demonic forces, those high towers, those high places, Lord, and that you will expose the workers of iniquity, Lord. The great exposition of what's going on in the history of the world, let it happen now with the multi-level media and all the cameras and all the intrepid reporters out there. Let your truth reign like never before, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for the chance to serve you, the opportunity to make a difference. Give us courage, Lord. Give us courage to do what we need to do in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Randy, come on in.
Amen, Coach. Amen. Thanks for going to Springfield, Coach. It's gonna be great when we see the change there.
It is. It is.
So I forgot what I was going to say, Coach. But, you know, Coach, years ago, I named my ranch here, Little Ranch, 140-acre ranch. I named it Iron L Ranch, and I had no idea. I thought, oh, well, I've always worked with rebar my whole life. But really, I realize now, God, it was a prophetic thing, Coach, because that's exactly what we're doing as the sons of God. We are the rod of iron of his hands on the earth, and Amen. We're breaking the nations who are disobedient, the people who won't come in. We are the actual, the power of the Holy Spirit. We are the people, the iron breakers, Coach, right Amen. Now, in real time, right now, Coach.
In real time.
You remember real quick, Coach, you remember when Jesus said to the fig tree, he cursed it that one day. The next day he walks by it and it's dead. And Amen. They look at him and they go, what happened? He goes, have faith in God. So, Coach, you just did an operation in that county there in Springfield. Now, you all going to believe him?
I believe it, Coach.
That's where we're at. Are we going to have faith in God, Coach? We're going to say to the mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea. You evil people in our communities, in our courts, in our counties, if you don't follow God and repent and kiss the Son, you're out. God's going to break you like a Amen. Piece of iron. That's what's happening. Amen. And
you know what the problem is, folks? We're spending all of our time. I'm sorry, I just got to tell you the truth. We're trying to recruit the enemy's army. That's their solution. Go give them Jesus. Go give them Jesus. We don't understand. They are part of the enemy's army, friends. And when we bring the boot of the gospel of the kingdom of God, they will bow or they will not survive. That's the reality of where we are. We are expanding a kingdom. We're not recruiting the devil's kids. Sorry if that's what they've been telling you in your church. See you tomorrow.